Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as always, I thank and praise God for my listening audience tuning in once again as we study together the Word of God. But as always, let us begin with a word of prayer as we approach the throne of grace. Father God, once again, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come into your presence for the study of your Word. We pray now, Lord, that your Spirit will take control of our hearts and our minds, lead, guide, and direct us. Father, that we might be illumined, that we might understand, that we might be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Come now, O Holy Spirit, and have your way. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, we have been in a study in the book of Acts, and tonight we're going to open the fourth chapter, and we're going to begin reading and then looking at the verses. Amen. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even tide." Well, we know that Peter had been going through a series of sermons, if you will, and now they are upset. The leadership, the Jewish leadership, is upset. It says the priests, these persons had evidenced the most charges against Christ from the beginning, the captain of the temple, that's usually the temple guard, and the Sadducees. The whole system was now endangered by preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, their religious system was being threatened by what Peter was preaching. They were still attuned to the law, and now Peter's message basically is about grace. We know that in the third chapter that we covered, it was about the lame man that had been healed. And now this is a continuation of the fallout, if you will, of what had been transpiring. Now, the preachers are bound for preaching Jesus. In other words, as a preacher, we can do nothing else but preach Jesus the Christ. Amen? There is no other name in heaven and earth that we can preach unto salvation other than Jesus the Christ. Now we know that as they began to preach, it says that they were being grieved. It implies more of simple sorrow, but it's mingled with emotion and indignation and anger. They were upset that these men were preaching Jesus the Christ. It says that they were grieved because they taught the people. They were offended that these unlearned Galileans, in no way connected with this, with the priestly office, and was not authorized by them, should presume to set themselves up as religious teachers. It had been no unusual thing for these men in their ecclesiastical stations to take exceptions to the ministry of those who had not been commissioned by themselves. And that's what Albert Barnes says. What he's saying is these religious leaders had not approved these men nor the message. And because these men or the message were not approved, they were grieved. They were upset. They were just beside themselves that these men were preaching something that would now intimidate and perhaps tear down their religious system of the day, because they were preaching Jesus. Because the Sadducees would be particularly opposed to this, but they denied the doctrine of the resurrection. And they were troubled that the apostles were producing proof of this resurrection, because that's what Peter was preaching. Peter was preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Sadducees, therefore, felt that their cause now was in danger, and they joined with the priest in endeavoring to arrest the spread of this gospel message that was now being preached by these alleged unlearned men. So then they put them in hold. That means they took them into custody. They arrested them. They took them into custody, put allegedly in safekeeping until the next day. In the evening, eventide, late in the evening. Verse 4 says, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, believed, and the number of men were about 5,000. Now, some interesting concepts about that number of the 5,000, because many commentators say that was the 3,000 plus the 120 and now had grown to 5,000 and not necessarily 5,000 additional souls, which would bring the number up to about 8,000, because this was transpiring outside of Solomon's porch. So you can look at it every way you want to, and I kind of believe that it was probably just the combined number of 5,000, but many of them now were beginning to believe. This is one of the instances in which has since been often repeated in Scripture, which persecution is seen to have a tendency to extend and establish the faith that it was destined to destroy. In other words, sometimes when you and I are purporting the things of Jesus the Christ, when we're talking about salvation, many times you and I will begin to become persecuted. And when we're persecuted, those people who are going against this, their intention is to stop us from the spreading of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But a strange thing that God does, it seems that when his word is under attack, his word actually spreads. When his word is trying to be confined, it bursts at the seams and overwhelms everybody whom it comes in contact with. When his word is being suppressed by mean-spirited people, the word attacks them right at the heart of the issue. Amen? Amen. Let's look at verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now, I always kind of get a little tickle when I read that scripture because it talks about nepotism, but that's a subject that we won't broach today. But anyway, we find that Annas was the former high priest, and now Caiaphas is the seated high priest. Amen? And they brought all of their known relatives that had been in this priestly line, perhaps, together so they could now stand against this gospel message. Now, let me read a little further. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? So now they're beginning to get to the crux of the matter. They want to know who had given them the authority, who had allowed them to do this thing, who had stated that what they were saying was true and should be purported to the population. And so we find that the questioning now begins, and we find that when we are placed on the spot and we are relying on God, God will take control of the situation. Now, the religious leaders were commanded by the law of Moses to examine anyone who performed a miracle. If their teaching had led the people away from God, then they were commanded to stone them to death. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. If the doctrine of the miracle worker was sound, and he was to be accepted. With these judges, the verdict in favor of the disciples was more than just unlikely. In other words, they could not deny the miracle, but anytime a miracle like this had been performed, the religious leaders had to address and examine what had taken place, by what power, by what authority had they done this. Had it been by divination? Had it been by spells? Had it been by any other thing that was ungodly? And if it were, then the law said that they were to be stoned to death because they were under the law where it stated that a false prophet would be put to death. Amen? But we find out Peter is asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Now let's look at verses 8 through 10 for a moment. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. My. Now let's look what's going on. He says, so the witness testifies, that's Peter. Peter receives a flash, not a flash, excuse me, but a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know sometimes when we in a church body begin to talk about the things in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, sometimes there's a little bit of a riff on our understanding. But let me just say this. We are to be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible talks about being filled multiple times. In other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, it means that I am now yielding myself to the power and the presence of the Spirit. When I yield myself to the Spirit, that means I am stepping aside and letting God have full control and reign over my life. So you and I need to be filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis, because if the truth be known, many times we do allow our flesh to kind of get in the way. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. And whenever we are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost or to unbelievers or those of different religions, we need the power and the presence of the Spirit. We can't argue with them logically. We can't convince them that what they're doing is not correct. But what we have to rely on is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we do that by being yielded to his power and to his presence, and let him have reign and rule over our hearts and minds, and then allow him through us to present the gospel message. In fact, the Greek tense indicates this as one of the many examples of the need to be repeatedly filled by God's Spirit. This was the direct fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 10, verses 16 through 20. And let me just turn to that for a moment before we run out of time and kind of read that. Behold, I will send you forth a sheep in the midst of wolves, but ye therefore wise as serpent and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when you are delivered you up, take no thought of what you will say or speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour that what ye shall speak. Well, my brothers and sisters, by the clock on the wall, the time is winding down, so please tune in again next week. Pray for me as I pray for you that Jesus will have his way with our lives. God bless and see you next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.